behind her and caressing her beautiful behind again. "You can do it," I breathe. She pushes her backside into my hand and I give her a playful smack. "Eager, Miss Steele?" I ask. She moans in reply. "Well, let's get rid of these." I slide the thong down her legs, removing it and dropping it on her discarded jeans. While kneeling behind her, I kiss each cheek of her ass. "Take the shot, baby." She's agitated, all fingers and thumbs, and she fumbles for the cue ball, lines it up, hits it, but in her impatience misses the shot. She scrunches up her eyes, waiting for me to spank her, but instead I lean over her, pressing her onto the bays. I take the cue from her hand and push it to the side. "Now for some real fun." "You missed," I whisper in her ear. "Put your hands flat on the table." My erection is fighting with my fly. "Good. I'm going to spank you now, and next time maybe you won't." I move beside her so I have a better aim. She groans and closes her eyes, and her breathing is getting louder. I caress her behind with one hand. With the other, I hold her down and twist my fingers in her hair. "Open your legs," I tell her, and reach for the ruler in my pocket. She hesitates, so I smack her with the ruler. It makes a really satisfying noise as it cracks across her ass, and she gasps but says nothing, so I hit her again. "Legs," I order. She complies, and I strike her again. She scrunches up her eyes as she takes the pain, but she doesn't ask me to stop. "Oh, baby." I spank her again and again, and she moans. Her skin is turning pink beneath the ruler, and my jeans are becoming impossibly tight as they restrict my arousal. I smack her again and again, and I'm lost. Lost in her, owned by her. She's doing this for me, and I love it. I love her. "Stop," she says. And I drop the ruler without thinking and release her. "Enough?" I ask. "Yes." "I want to fuck you now," I whisper, my voice hoarse. "Yes," she pleads. She wants this too. Her ass is pink and she's dragging air into her lungs. I tug my fly open, allowing my cock some room, and then insert two fingers inside her, moving them in circles, reveling in her readiness. I make quick work of putting on a condom, then steady myself behind her and slowly ease myself into her. Oh, yes. This is without a doubt my favorite place in the world. I ease out of her, holding her hips, then slam into her hard so that she cries out. "Again?" I ask. "Yes," she breathes. "I'm fine. Lose yourself. Take me with you." "Oh, Anna, with pleasure." I slam into her once more and set up a slow but grueling rhythm, taking her again and again and again. She moans and cries out as I claim her, every inch mine. She starts to quicken. She's nearly there, and I increase the pace, listening to her cries until she orgasms around me, crying out and taking me with her. So I call out her name and empty my soul inside her. I collapse on top of her as I catch my breath. I'm filled with gratitude and humility. I love her. I want her. Always. I pull her into my arms and we sink to the floor, where I cradle her against my chest. I never want to let her go. "Thank you, baby," I whisper, and cover her face in soft kisses. She opens her eyes and gives me a drowsy, sated smile. I tighten my hold on her and stroke her cheek. "Your cheek is pink from the bays. Matches your ass, baby." Her smile widens under my tender ministration. "How was that?" I ask.
"Teeth clenchingly good," she says. "I like it rough, Christian, and I like it gentle, too. I like that it's with you."
I close my eyes and marvel at the beautiful young woman in my arms. "You never fail, Anna. You're beautiful, bright, challenging, fun, sexy, and I thank divine providence every day that it was you who came to interview me and not Catherine Cavanaugh." I kiss her hair and she yawns, making me smile. "I'm wearing you out. Come, bath, then bed."
I stand and pull her to her feet. Do you want me to carry you? She shakes her head. I'm sorry, but you'd better get dressed. We don't know who we'll meet in the hallway. In the bathroom, I turn on the faucet and pour a copious amount of bath oil into the streaming water. I help Anna out of her clothes and hold her hand as she steps in. I follow her quickly, and we sit at opposite ends while the bath fills with hot water and fragrant foam. I grab some body wash and with it begin to massage Anna's left foot, my thumbs rubbing her instep.
Oh, that feels so good.
She closes her eyes and tips back her head. Good. I'm enjoying her pleasure. Her hair is tied in a ponytail that sits precariously in a loose bun on top of her head. A few tendrils escape, and her skin looks dewy and a little sun-kissed from our afternoon on the Grace. She's stunning. It's been a bewildering couple of days. Leela's aberrant behavior, Elena's interference, and Anna steadfast and strong through it all. It's been humbling. She humbles me. Most of all, I've enjoyed sharing her happiness. I like to see her happy. Her joy is my joy.
Can I ask you something?
She murmurs, cocking one eye open. Of course. Anything, Anna. You know that. She sits up and squares her shoulders. Oh, no.
Tomorrow, when I go to work, can Sawyer just deliver me to the front door of the office, then pick me up at the end of the day? Please, Christian, please, she says quickly.
I stop my massage. I thought we agreed.
Please.
Why does she feel so passionately about this? What about lunchtime? I ask, anxious once more about her safety.
I'll make myself something to take from here so I don't have to go out. Please.
I find it very difficult to say no to you, I admit, kissing her instep. I want her safe, and until Leela's apprehended, I'm not sure that she will be. Anna's giving me the big blue eyes. You won't go out, I ask.
No.
Okay. She smiles, grateful, I think.
Thank you,
she says, spilling water over the side of the bath as she moves to her knees. She places her hands on my upper arms and kisses me. You're most welcome, Miss Steele. How's your behind?
Sore, but not too bad. The water is soothing.
I'm glad you told me to stop, I say.
So is my behind.
I grin. Let's go to bed. I brush my teeth and wander back into my bedroom where Anna is in bed. Didn't Ms. Acton provide any nightwear? I ask. I'm sure she has some silk and satin nightgowns.
I have no idea. I like wearing your t-shirts,
she replies, and her eyelids droop. Boy, she's exhausted. I lean forward and kiss her forehead. I still have some work to do, but I want to stay with Anna. I've been in her company all day, and it's been lovely. I never want this day to end. I need to work, but I don't want to leave you alone. Can I use your laptop to log into the office? Will I disturb you if I work from here?
It's not my laptop,
she mumbles and closes her eyes. Yes, it is, I whisper, and I sit down beside her and open her MacBook Pro. I click on Safari, log into my email, and begin to work through them. Once that's done, I email Taylor and let him know that I'd like Sawyer to accompany Anna tomorrow. The only outstanding detail is deciding where Sawyer will be while Anna is at work. This we will figure out in the morning. I check my schedule. I have a meeting at 8:30 with Roz and Vanessa in procurement to discuss the conflict mineral issue. I'm tired. Anna is fast asleep as I lay down beside her. I watch her chest rise and fall with each breath. Over such a short time, she has become so dear to me. Anna, I love you, I whisper. Thank you for today. Please stay. And I close my eyes. Monday, June 13th, 2011. Seattle's morning news wakes me with a report about the Angels' upcoming game with the Mariners. When I turn my head, Anna is awake and watching me.
Good morning,
she says with a bright smile. She caresses my stubbly cheek with her fingers and kisses me. Good morning, baby. I'm surprised that I've slept so long. I usually wake before the alarm goes off. It's set so early, Anna whines. That it is, Miss Steele. I have to get up. I kiss her and bound out of bed. In my closet, I pull on my sweats and grab my iPod. I check on Anna before I leave. She's gone back to sleep. Good. She's had an action-packed weekend, as have I. Yes, what a weekend. I resist the urge to kiss her goodbye and let her sleep. Glancing through the windows, I see that the sky is overcast, but I don't think it's raining. I'll chance a run rather than my gym.
Mr. Gray?
Ryan accosts me in the foyer. Good morning, Ryan.
Sir, you're going out?
He probably thinks he needs to join me. I'll be fine, Ryan. Thank you.
Mr. Taylor?
I'll be fine. I step into the elevator and leave Ryan in the foyer looking uncertain, probably second-guessing his decision. Leela was never one for an early morning, just like Anna. I think I'll be safe. It's drizzling outside, but I don't care. With Bittersweet Symphony blasting in my ears, I set off, sprinting down Fourth Avenue. My mind clouds with chaotic images of all that has happened over the last few days. Anna at the ball, Anna on my boat, Anna at the hotel. Anna, Anna, Anna. My life has been completely overturned to the point that I'm not sure I recognize myself. Elena's words come back to me.
Have you turned your back on who you are?
Have I? I can't change. The words from the song echo through my head. The truth is, I like being in her company. I like having her in my home. I'd like her to stay. Permanently. She's brought humor, restful sleep, vitality, and love into my monochrome existence. I didn't know I was lonely until I met her. But she won't want to move in, will she? While Leela is still at large, it makes sense for her to stay, but once she's found, Anna will go. I can't make her stay, though part of me would like to. But in the interim, if she ever finds out the truth about me, she'll leave and never want to see me again. No one can love a monster. And when she leaves, hell. I run harder and faster, trying to clear my confusion until I'm conscious only of my bursting lungs and my Nikes hitting the ground. Mrs. Jones is in the kitchen when I get back from my run. Good morning, Gail.
Mr. Gray, good morning.
Did Taylor tell you about Leela?
Yes, sir. I hope you find her. She needs help.
Gail's face is full of concern. She does.
I understand Miss Steele is still here.
She gives me that weird little smile she has whenever we talk about Anna. I think she'll be staying as long as Leela is a threat. She'll need a packed lunch today.
Okay. What would you like for breakfast?
Scrambled eggs, toast.
Very good, sir.
Once I'm showered and dressed, I decide to wake Anna. She's still fast asleep. I kiss her temple. Come on, sleepyhead, get up. Her eyes open and close again, and she takes a deep breath.
What?
I ask.
I wish you'd come back to bed.
Don't tempt me, baby. You are insatiable, Miss Steele. As much as that idea appeals, I have an 8:30 meeting, so I have to go shortly. Startled, Anna looks at the clock, pushes me aside to leap out of bed, and dashes into the bathroom. Shaking my head, amused at her sudden burst of energy, I pop a few condoms into my pants pocket, then saunter into the kitchen for some breakfast. You never know, Gray. I've learned that it's good to be prepared around Anastasia Steele. Mrs. Jones is making coffee.
Your scrambled eggs will be ready in a moment, Mr. Gray.
Great. Anna will join me shortly.
Shall I make her scrambled eggs?
I think she likes pancakes and bacon. Gail places a coffee and my breakfast at one of the places she set at the kitchen counter. Anna appears about 10 minutes later wearing some of the clothes I bought her. A silk blouse and a gray skirt. She looks different. Sophisticated. Elegant. She's beautiful. Not a gauche student, but a confident young working woman. I approve and I wrap my arm around her. You look lovely, I say, kissing her behind her ear. My only misgiving about her appearance is that she has to spend time looking like this with her boss. Don't dwell, Gray. This is her choice. She wants to work. I release her when Gail places her breakfast on the bar.
Good morning, Miss Steele, she says. Oh, thank you. Good morning,
Anna replies.
Mr. Gray says you'd like to take lunch with you to work. What would you like to eat?
Anna shoots me a look. Yeah, baby, I was serious. No going out.
A sandwich, salad, I really don't mind.
She gives Gail an appreciative smile.
I'll rustle up a packed lunch for you, ma'am. Please, Mrs. Jones, call me Anna. Anna,
Gail says. I have to go, baby. Taylor will come back and drop you at work with Sawyer.
Only to the door,
she reiterates. Yes, only to the door. That's what we agreed. Be careful, though, I add in a hushed tone. Standing, I grasp her chin and give her a swift kiss. Laters, baby.
Have a good day at the office, dear,
she calls after me. And though it's a corny thing to say, it delights me. This feels so normal. In the elevator, Taylor greets me with an update.
Sir, there's a coffee shop opposite SIP. I think Sawyer can station himself there during the day.
If he needs backup, you know, bathroom breaks, I'll send Reynolds or Ryan. Okay.
I'd forgotten that Andrea is out for her wedding, but she won't be having much of a honeymoon if she's back at work tomorrow. The woman who's replaced her and whose name I still can't remember is browsing the Vogue Facebook page when I arrive. No social media during office hours, I say with a grunt. Rookie mistake, but she should know this. She's already an employee here. She's startled.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Gray, I didn't hear you arrive. Can I get you some coffee?
Yes, you may. A macchiato. I shut my office door and, at my desk, switch on my computer. There's an email from the Saab dealership. Anna's car will arrive today. I forward the email to Taylor so he can organize delivery, thinking that it will be a nice surprise for Anna this evening. Next, I email Anna.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 13th, 2011, 8:24 a.m. Boss.
Good morning, Miss Steele. I just wanted to say thank you for a wonderful weekend in spite of all the drama. I hope you never leave, ever. And just to remind you that the news of SIP is embargoed for 4 weeks. Delete this email as soon as you've read it. Yours, Christian Gray, CEO. I check Andrea's notes. The replacement's name is Montana Brooks. She knocks and brings in my coffee.
Roz Bailey is running a little late, but Vanessa Conway is here.
Let her wait for Roz.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
I need some ideas for wedding presents. Ms. Brooks looks taken aback.
Well, it depends how well you know the person and how much you'd like to spend, and...
I don't need a lecture. I hold up my hand. Write them down. It's for my PA.
Does she have a bridal registry?
A what?
A bridal registry at a store.
I don't know. Find out.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
That will be all. She leaves. Thank God Andrea's back tomorrow.
Welch's report on Jack Hyde is in my inbox. While I wait for Roz, I take the opportunity to look it over. My meeting with Roz and Vanessa is brief. Vanessa and her team are conducting a thorough audit of all our supply chains, and they are proposing we source our cassiterite and wolframite from Bolivia and our tantalum from Australia to avoid the conflict mineral problem. It will be more expensive, but will keep us on the right side of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. and it's what we as a company should be doing. When they leave, I check my email. There's one from Anna. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 13th, 2011, 9:03 a.m. Bossy.
Dear Mr. Gray, are you asking me to move in with you? And of course, I remembered that the evidence of your epic stalking capabilities is embargoed for another 4 weeks. Do I make a check out to Coping Together and send to your dad? Please don't delete this email. Please respond to it. I love you. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Am I asking her to move in with me? Shit. Gray, this is a bold, sudden move. I could look after her, full time. She'd be mine, really mine. And deep down I know there is only one answer, a resounding yes. I ignore all her other questions and respond. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 13th, 2011, 9:07 a.m. Me, Bossy? Yes, please. Christian Gray, CEO. While I wait for her response, I read through the rest of the report on Jack Hyde. On the surface, his background check seems fine. He's successful and earns a decent salary. He's from humble beginnings and seems bright and ambitious. But there's something unusual about his career path. Who in publishing starts in New York, then works at various publishers across the U.S., ending up in Seattle? It makes no sense. He doesn't seem to have had any long-term relationships, and he never keeps an assistant for more than 3 months. That means Anna's time with him is limited. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 13th, 2011, 9:20 a.m. Flynnisms.
Christian, what happened to walking before we run? Can we talk about this tonight, please? I've been asked to go to a conference in New York on Thursday. It means an overnight stay on Wednesday. Just thought you should know. A. Kiss. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
She doesn't want to move in with me. This is not the news I wanted.
What did you expect, Gray? At least she wants to discuss it this evening, so there's hope. But then she also wants to fuck off to New York.
Well, that sucks. I wonder if this is a conference on her own. Or with Hyde.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 13th, 2011, 9:21 a.m. What?
Yes, let's talk this evening. Are you going on your own? Christian Gray, CEO. Jack Hyde must be a prick to work for if he doesn't keep an assistant for more than 3 months. I know I'm an asshole, but Andrea's worked for me for nearly a year and a half. I didn't know she was getting married. Yes, that's pissed me off. But before her, there was Helena. She was with me for 2 years, and now she works in HR, recruiting our engineers. While I wait for Anna's answer, I read the final page of the report. And there it is. 3 hushed-up harassment claims at his previous publishers, and 2 official warnings at SIP. 3? He's a fucking creep, I knew it. Why wasn't this in his employee file? He was all over Anna at the bar, invading her space, like the photographer.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 13th, 2011, 9:30 a.m. No bold shouty capitals on a Monday morning.
Can we talk about this tonight? A. Kiss. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Evasive, Miss Steele. It's a trip with him. I know it. She looked sensational this morning. He's planned it, I bet.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 13th, 2011, 9:35 a.m. You haven't seen Shouty yet.
Tell me. If it's with the sleazeball you work with, then the answer is no over my dead body. Christian Gray, CEO. I hit send and then buzz Roz.
Christian?
She answers immediately. There's a lot of unnecessary expenditure at SIP. They're hemorrhaging money and we need to put a stop to it. I want a moratorium on all non-essential peripheral spending. Travel, hotels, hospitality, all the T&E, especially for junior staff. You know the drill.
Really? I don't think we'll save much money.
Just call Roach. Make it happen. Immediately.
What's brought this on?
Just do it, Roz. She sighs.
If you insist. Do you want me to add it to the contract?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks. I hang up. There. Now that should put a stop to Anna and New York. Besides, I'd like to take her there myself. She told me yesterday that she's never been there. There's a ping and Anna has responded.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 13th, 2011, 9:46 a.m. No, you haven't seen Shouty yet.
Yes, it is with Jack. I want to go. It's an exciting opportunity for me, and I have never been to New York. Don't get your knickers in a twist. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
I'm about to reply when I hear a knock. What? I bark. Montana pokes her head around the door and lingers, which is especially irritating. Either come in or don't.
Mr. Gray, the registry for Andrea?
For a moment, I have no idea what she's talking about.
It's at Crate and Barrel?
She continues, simpering. Okay. What the hell am I supposed to do with that information?
I've made a list of the items still available and their prices.
Email it to me. I say through gritted teeth, and get me another coffee.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
She smiles as if we're discussing the fucking weather and shuts the door. Now I can respond to Miss Steele.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 13th, 2011, 9:50 a.m. No, you haven't seen Shouty yet.
Anastasia, it's not my fucking knickers I am worried about. The answer is no. Christian Gray, CEO. Montana places another macchiato on my desk.
You have a meeting at 10 with Barney and Fred in the lab, she says.
Thanks, I'll take my coffee with me. I know I sound surly, but right now a certain blue-eyed woman is getting under my skin. Montana leaves and I take a sip of coffee. Fuck, shit. It's scalding hot. I drop the cup, the coffee, everything. Hell. Fortunately, it misses me and my keyboard, but it's all over the damn floor. Ms. Brooks! I yell. Jesus, I wish Andrea was here. Montana pops her head around the door, neither in nor out, and still wearing too much freshly applied lipstick. I've just dropped my coffee all over the floor because it was scalding hot. Get it cleaned up, please.
Oh, Mr. Gray, I'm so sorry.
She scurries in to survey the mess, and I leave her to deal with it. For a moment, I wonder whether she might have done this on purpose.
Gray, you're paranoid.
I grab my phone and decide to take the stairs. Barney and Fred are sitting at the lab table. Good morning, gentlemen.
Mr. Gray,
Fred says.
Barney's cracked it.
Oh?
Yes, the cover. We put this through the 3D printer and voila.
He hands me a compact hinged plastic cover that's attached to the tablet.
This is great, I say.
This must have taken you all weekend. I stare at Barney. He shrugs.
Nothing better to do.
You need to get out more, Barney, but this is good work. Is that all you wanted to show me?
We could easily adapt it and put this on a mobile phone cover, too.
I'd like to see that.
I'll get on it.
Great. Anything else?
That's it for now, Mr. Gray.
Might be worth showing the 3D printer to the mayor when he visits.
We've got quite the show planned for him, says Fred.
Without giving anything away,
adds Barney.
Sounds great. Thanks for the show and tell. I'll head back upstairs. Waiting for the elevator, I check my email. There's a reply from Anna.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 13th, 2011, 9:55 a.m., 50 shades.
Christian, you need to get a grip. I am not going to sleep with Jack, not for all the tea and china. I love you. That's what happens when people love each other. They trust each other. I don't think you are going to sleep with, spank, fuck, or whip anyone else. I have faith and trust in you. Please extend the same courtesy to me. Anna, Anastasia Steele, assistant. What the hell? I told her the emails at SIP were monitored.
We stop at several floors, and I try, really try, to contain my anger. There's that irritating, expectant hush within the elevator as my staff enter and exit because I'm in there.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
I nod my hellos, but I'm not in the mood. Beneath my polite smile, my blood is simmering. As soon as I'm back in my office, I check her work number and call her.
Jack Hyde's office, Anna Steele speaking, she answers.
Will you please delete the last email you sent me and try to be a little more circumspect in the language you use in your work email? I told you the system is monitored. I will endeavor to do some damage limitation from here. I snarl and hang up. I call Barney.
Mr. Gray?
Can you delete Miss Anastasia Steele's email to me at 9:55 from the SIP server and all mine to her? There's silence at the other end of the phone. Barney?
Sure, Mr. Gray, I was just working out how I can do it. I have an idea.
Great, let me know when it's done.
Yes, sir.
My phone lights up. Anastasia. What? I answer, and I think she can tell I'm more than grumpy.
I am going to New York whether you like it or not.
Don't count on it. Silence. Anna? She's hung up on me. Fuck. Again. Who does that? Well, I might have just done it to her, but that's not the point. And I remember she did it when she drunk dialed me. I put my head in my hands. Anna, Anna, Anna. My office phone buzzes.
Gray.
Mr. Gray, Barney. It was much easier than I thought. Those emails are no longer on the SIP server.
Thanks, Barney.
No worries, Mr. Gray. At least something is going right. There's a knock on the door.
What now?
Montana opens the door. She's holding a can of carpet cleaner and some tissue.
Later,
I snap. I've had enough of her. She quickly reverses out of the office. I take a deep breath. Today's turning into a shit day, and it's not even lunchtime. There's another email from Anna.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 13th, 2011, 10:43 a.m. What have you done?
Please tell me you won't interfere with my work. I really want to go to this conference. I shouldn't have to ask you. I have deleted the offending email. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
I respond immediately.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 13th, 2011, 10:46 a.m. What have you done?
I am just protecting what is mine. The email that you so rashly sent is wiped from the SIP server now, as are my emails to you. Incidentally, I trust you implicitly. It's him I don't trust. Christian Gray, CEO. Her response is almost as immediate.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 13th, 2011, 10:48 a.m., grown up.
Christian, I don't need protecting from my own boss. He may make a pass at me, but I would say no. You cannot interfere. It's wrong and controlling on so many levels. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Controlling is my middle name, Anna. I think I've told you this already, along with unreasonable and weird.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 13th, 2011, 10:50 a.m. The answer is no.
Anna, I have seen how effective you are at fighting off unwanted attention.
I remember that's how I had the pleasure of spending my first night with you. At least the photographer has feelings for you. The sleazeball, on the other hand, does not. He is a serial philanderer, and he will try to seduce you. Ask him what happened to his previous PA and the one before that. I don't want to fight about this. If you want to go to New York, I'll take you. We can go this weekend. I have an apartment there. Christian Grey, CEO. She doesn't reply immediately, and I distract myself with phone calls. Welch has nothing new on Leela. We discuss whether or not to involve the police at this stage. I'm still reluctant to do it.
She's close, Mr. Grey, Welch says.
She's clever. She's managed to evade us so far.
We're watching your place, SIP, Grey House. She won't slip past us again. I hope she doesn't.
And thanks for the report on Hyde.
You're welcome. I can dig deeper if you wish.
It's fine for now. But I may get back to you.
Okay, sir.
Bye. I hang up. My phone buzzes before I've let go of the receiver.
I have your mother on the line.
Montana chirps in a sing-song voice. Shit, that's all I need. I'm still a little pissed at my mom and her comment about Anna being after my money. Put her through, I mutter.
Christian, darling,
Grace says. Hello, Mother.
Darling, I just wanted to apologize for what I said on Saturday. You know I think the world of Anna. It's just, all of this is so sudden.
It's fine. But it's not fine. She's quiet for a moment, and I think she's doubting the sincerity of my response. However, I'm already arguing with one woman in my life. I don't want to argue with another. Grace?
Sorry, darling, it's your birthday on Saturday, and we wanted to organize a party.
On my computer screen, an email from Anna appears. Mom, I can't talk now. I have to go.
Okay, call me.
She sounds melancholy, but I don't have time for her right now. Yes, sure.
Bye, Christian.
Bye. I hang up. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Grey. June 13th, 2011, 11:15 a.m. FW lunch date or irritating baggage.
Christian, while you have been busy interfering in my career and saving your ass from my careless missives, I received the following email from Mrs. Lincoln. I really don't want to meet with her. Even if I did, I am not allowed to leave this building. How she got hold of my email address, I don't know. What would you suggest I do? Her email is below. Dear Anastasia, I would really like to have lunch with you. I think we got off on the wrong foot, and I'd like to make that right. Are you free sometime this week? Elena Lincoln. Anastasia Steele, Assistant.
Oh, this day just gets better and better. What the hell is Elena doing now? And Anna is calling me out on my shit as usual. I didn't know arguing could be so tiresome and discouraging and worrying. She's mad at me.
From Christian Grey to Anastasia Steele. June 13th, 2011, 11:23 a.m. Irritating baggage.
Don't be mad at me. I have your best interest at heart. If anything happened to you, I would never forgive myself. I'll deal with Mrs. Lincoln. Christian Grey, CEO.
Irritating baggage.
I smile for the first time since I left Anna this morning. She has a way with words. I call Elena.
Christian.
She answers on the fifth ring. Do I have to get a banner and attach it to a plane and fly it over your office? She laughs.
My email?
Yes, Anna sent it to me. Please. Leave her alone. She doesn't want to see you, and I understand and respect that. You're making my life really difficult.
You understand her?
Yes.
I think she needs to know how hard you are on yourself.
No, she doesn't need to know anything.
You sound exhausted.
I'm just tired of you going behind my back and chasing my girlfriend.
Girlfriend?
Yes, girlfriend, get used to it. She sighs long and hard. Elena, please.
Okay, Christian. It's your funeral.
What the fuck?
I have to go, I answer.
Goodbye,
she says, and she sounds annoyed. Bye. I hang up. The women in my life are vexing. I turn in my chair and stare out of the window. The rain is relentless. The sky is dark and drab, reflecting my mood. Life has become complicated. It used to be easier when everything and everyone stayed where I placed them in their designated compartments. Now with Anna, everything's changed. This is all new, and so far everyone, including my mother, seems to be pissed at me or pissing me off. When I turn to face my computer, there's another email from Anna.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 13th, 2011, 11:32 a.m. Laters.
Can we please discuss this tonight? I am trying to work and your continued interference is very distracting. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Okay, I'll leave you alone. What I really want to do is go over to her office and take her somewhere splendid for lunch. But I don't think she'd appreciate that. With a heavy sigh, I open the email that lists Andrea's bridal registry. Pots, pans, dishes. Nothing appeals to me. And again, I wonder why she didn't tell me about her nuptials. Feeling morose, I call Flynn's office and make an appointment to see him later this afternoon. It's overdue. Then I summon Montana and ask her to go and buy me a wedding card and some lunch. Surely she can't screw that up. As I'm eating my lunch, Taylor calls. Taylor?
Mr. Gray, everything's okay.
My heart goes into overdrive as adrenaline powers through my body. Anna.
What is it? Is Anna okay?
She's fine, sir. Do you have news on Leela?
No, sir.
And what is it? I'm just letting you know that Anna went to the deli on Union Square. She's back in the office. She's fine.
Thank you for letting me know. Anything else?
The Saab will be here this afternoon.
Great.
I put the phone down and try, really try, not to be mad as hell. I fail. She told me she'd stay put.
Leela could put a bullet through her.
Doesn't she understand that?
I call her.
Jack Hyde's office.
You assured me you wouldn't go out.
Jack sent me out for some lunch. I couldn't say no. Are you having me watched?
She sounds incredulous. I ignore her question. This is why I didn't want you going back to work.
Christian, please, you're being so suffocating.
Suffocating?
Yes, you have to stop this. I'll talk to you this evening. Unfortunately, I have to work late because I can't go to New York.
Anastasia, I don't want to suffocate you.
Well, you are. I have work to do. I'll talk to you later.
She sounds as miserable as I feel, and she hangs up.
I'm suffocating her?
Maybe I am. I just want to protect her. I saw what Leela did to her car. Don't push her too far, Gray. She'll leave.
Flynn has a real log fire burning in his office. It's June. It spits and crackles as we talk.
You bought the company where she works?
Flynn asks with raised eyebrows.
Yes.
I think Anna has a point. I'm not surprised she feels suffocated.
I shift in my chair. This is not what I want to hear. I wanted to get into publishing. Flynn remains impassive, giving nothing away, waiting for me to speak.
It's over the top, isn't it?
I concede.
Yes.
She wasn't impressed.
Did you set out to impress her?
No, that wasn't my intention. Anyway, SIP is mine now.
I understand that you're trying to protect her, and I know why you're trying to do that. But this is an out-of-the-ordinary reaction. You have a bank account that allows you to do this, but you will drive her away if you continue on this path.
That's what I'm worried about.
Christian, you have a great deal to contend with at the moment. Leela Williams, and yes, I will help you when you find her. Anastasia's animosity toward Elena. I think you can understand why Anna feels that way.
He gives me a pointed look. I shrug, unwilling to agree with him.
But there's something much bigger you're not telling me, and I've been waiting for you to tell me since you arrived here. I saw it on Saturday.
I stare at him, wondering what he's talking about. He sits patiently, waiting.
He saw it on Saturday?
The bidding? The dancing? Shit. I'm in love with Anna. Thank you. I know.
Oh.
I could have told you that when you came to see me after she left you. I'm glad you worked it out for yourself.
I didn't know I was capable of feeling like this.
Of course you're capable.
He sounds exasperated.
That's why I was so interested in your reaction when she told you that she loved you.
It's getting easier to hear.
He smiles.
Good. I'm glad.
I've always been able to separate the different aspects of my life. My work, my family, my sex life. I understood what each of these meant to me, but since I met Anna, it's not as simple anymore. It's entirely unfamiliar, and I feel out of my depth and out of control.
Welcome to falling in love.
Flynn smiles.
And don't be too hard on yourself. You have an ex on the loose, with a gun, who has already tried to get your attention by attempting suicide in front of your housekeeper, and she's vandalized Anna's car. You've put measures in place to keep Anna and you safe. You've done all you can. You can't be everywhere, and you can't keep Anna locked up.
I want to.
I know you do, but you can't. Simple.
I shake my head, but deep down I know John's right. Christian, I've long held the belief that you never really had an adolescence, emotionally speaking. I think you're experiencing it now. I can see how agitated you are.
He continues, and since you won't let me prescribe you any anti-anxiety medication, I'd like you to try the relaxation techniques we discussed.
Oh, not that shit. I roll my eyes, but I know I'm behaving like a sulky teenager. He just said as much.
Christian, it's your blood pressure, not mine.
Okay.
I hold my hands up in surrender. I'll try my happy place.
I sound sarcastic, but it will appease John, who's looking at the clock.
Where is my happy place?
My childhood in the orchard, sailing or soaring. Always. It used to be with Elena. But now my happy place is with Anna. In Anna.
Flynn stifles a smile.
Time's up, he says. From the back of the Audi, I call Anna.
Hi,
she says, her voice quiet and breathy.
Hi.
When will you be finished?
By 7:30, I think.
I'll meet you outside.
Okay.
Thank God. I thought she might say she wanted to go back to her own apartment.
I'm still mad at you, but that's all.
She whispers.
We have a lot to talk about.
I know. See you at 7:30.
I have to go. See you later.
She hangs up. Let's sit here and wait for her, I say to Taylor, and glance at the front door of SIP.
Okay, sir.
And I sit and listen to the rain as it drums an uneven tattoo on the roof of the car, drowning out my thoughts, drowning out my happy place. An hour later, the door to SIP opens, and there she is. Taylor climbs out of the car and opens the door as Anna hurries toward us, head down to avoid the rain. I have no idea what she's going to do or say as she shuffles in beside me, but she's shaking her head and scattering droplets of water over me in the back seat. I want to hold her.
Hi,
she says, and her anxious eyes meet mine.
Hi,
I respond, and reaching over, I grasp her hand and squeeze it.
Are you still mad?
I ask.
I don't know,
she says. I bring her hand to my lips and kiss each knuckle in turn.
It's been a shitty day.
Yes, it has.
Her shoulders slump and she seems to relax into the car seat as she lets out a deep breath.
It's better now that you're here.
I run my thumb across her knuckles, craving the contact,
As Taylor drives us home, the day's woes seem to dissipate, and at last I start to relax. She's here. She's safe. She's with me. Taylor stops outside Escala, and I'm not sure why, but Anna is already opening the door, so I jump out after her, and we run into the building and out of the rain. I grasp her hand as we wait for the elevator, surveying the street through the plate glass, just in case.
I take it you haven't found Leela yet, Anna says.
No, Welch is still looking for her. We step into the elevator and the doors close. Anna looks up at me, elfin-faced and wide-eyed. I can't look away. Our gaze holds my longing and her need. She licks her lips. A come on. And suddenly our attraction is in the air between us, like static, surrounding us.
Do you feel it? I whisper.
Yes.
Oh, Anna.
I cannot bear the distance between us. I reach for her so she's in my arms and angle her head. My lips seek and find hers. She groans into my mouth, her fingers in my hair as I push her against the elevator wall.
I hate arguing with you. I want every inch of her, right here, right now, to know that we're okay.
Anna's response is immediate. Her hunger and passion are unleashed in our kiss, her tongue demanding and urgent. Her body rises and presses against mine, seeking relief as I lift up her skirt, my fingertips skimming her thigh and feeling lace and warm, warm flesh.
Sweet Jesus, you're wearing stockings.
My voice is hoarse as I slide my thumb across her stocking line. I want to see this. And I pull her skirt right up so I can see the tops of her thighs. I step back to enjoy the view and press the elevator's emergency stop button. I'm panting. I'm wanting, and she stands there like the fucking goddess she is, staring me down, her eyes dark, carnal, her breasts rising and falling as she drags air into her lungs.
Take your hair down.
Anna yanks at her hair tie, and her hair spills down over her shoulders and curls at her breasts.
Undo the top two buttons of your shirt, I whisper, growing harder and harder.
Her lips parted, she reaches up and slowly, too slowly, undoes the first one. Pausing for a beat, she lowers her fingers to the second button and undoes it. Unhurried, tantalizing me further and finally revealing the soft swell of her breasts.
Do you have any idea how alluring you look right now?
I hear the need in my voice. She sinks her teeth into her bottom lip and shakes her head.
I think I'm going to explode.
I close my eyes and try to bring my body to heel. Stepping forward, I place my hands on the wall on either side of her face. She tilts her face up, and her eyes meet mine. I lean closer.
I think you do, Miss Steele. I think you like to drive me wild.
Do I drive you wild?
In all things, Anastasia. You are a siren, a goddess.
I reach down and grasp her leg above her knee and hitch it up around my waist. Slowly, I lean down, pressing my body into hers. My erection sitting at the sacred junction of her thighs. I kiss her throat, my tongue tasting and savoring her. She wraps her arms around my neck, and she arches her back, pressing into me.
I'm going to take you now.
I groan and lift her higher. Grabbing a condom from my pocket, I undo my fly.
Hold tight, baby.
She tightens her arms around my neck and I show her the condom. She bites down on the corner and I tug and together we rip open the foil packet.
Good girl.
I step back a little and manage to slide on the damn condom.
God, I can't wait for the next 6 days. No more condoms.
I run my thumb over her underwear. Lace. Good.
I do hope you're not overly fond of these panties.
And the only reply is her heavy breathing in my ear. I push my thumbs through the seam at the back and they tear apart, allowing me access to my happy place. With my eyes on hers, I take her, slowly.
Fuck, she feels good.
She arches her back and closes her eyes and groans. I pull back and sink slowly into her once more.
This is what I want. This is what I needed. After such a shitty day, She didn't run. She's here. For me. With me. You're mine, Anastasia.
The words wash against her throat.
Yes, yours. When will you accept that?
Her words are a sigh, and it's what I want to hear, what I need to hear. I take her fast, furious. I need her. With each little cry, each pant, each tug of my hair, I know she needs me too. I lose myself in her, and I feel her spiral out of control.
Oh, baby.
I moan, and she comes around me, crying out, and I follow, whispering her name. I kiss her, holding her as my composure returns. We are forehead to forehead, and her eyes are closed.
Oh, Anna, I need you so much.
I close my eyes and kiss her forehead, thankful that I've found her.
And I you, Christian,
she whispers. I release her and straighten her skirt, and I do up the top two buttons of her shirt. I punch the override code into the elevator keypad, and it jolts to life. Taylor will be wondering where we are. I give her a wicked grin, and she tries in vain to smooth out her hair. After a few futile attempts, she gives up and opts for a ponytail. You'll do, I reassure her, and zip up my fly and slip the condom and her ruined panties into my pocket for disposal later. Taylor is waiting when the doors open. Problem with the elevator, I say as we step out, but I avoid eye contact with him. Anna scampers off to the bedroom, no doubt to freshen up, and I make my way into the kitchen where Mrs. Jones is preparing dinner.
The sub is here, Mr. Gray,
Taylor says, having followed me into the kitchen. Great, I'll let Anna know.
Sir.
He smiles. He and Gail exchange a look before he turns to leave. Good evening, Gail, I say, ignoring their look as I slip off my jacket. I hang it on the bar stool and sit down at the counter.
Good evening, Mr. Gray. Dinner will be ready shortly.
Smells good. Damn, I'm hungry.
Coq au vin, for two.
She gives me a fond sideways glance as she takes two plates out of the warming drawer.
I'm just checking that Miss Steele will be with us tomorrow.
Yes.
I'll fix lunch for her again.
Great. Anna returns to join me at the kitchen counter, and Mrs. Jones serves us our dinner.
Enjoy, Mr. Gray, Anna,
she says, and exits the kitchen. I fetch a bottle of Chablis from the fridge and pour each of us a glass. Anna tucks into her food. She's hungry. I like to see you eat.
I know.
She pops a piece of chicken into her mouth. I grin and take a sip of wine.
Tell me something good about your day,
she says when she's finished chewing. We had a breakthrough today with the design of our solar-powered tablet. It has so many different applications. We'll be able to make solar-powered phones, too.
You're excited about that?
Very. And they'll be cheap to produce and distribute in developing countries.
Careful, your philanthropy is showing,
she teases, but her expression is warm.
So is it just in New York and Aspen that you have property?
Yes.
Where in New York?
Tribeca.
Tell me about it.
It's an apartment. I rarely use it. In fact, my family uses it more than I do. I'll take you whenever you want to go. Anna stands and collects my plate and puts it in the sink. I think she's about to wash up. Leave that. Gail will do it. She looks happier than when she got into the car. Well, now that you are more docile, Miss Steele, shall we talk about today?
I think you're the one who's more docile. I think I'm doing a good job in taming you.
Taming me? I snort, amused that she thinks I need taming. She nods. She's serious. Taming me. Well, I'm certainly more docile since our assignation in the elevator, and she was more than happy to contribute to that encounter. Is that what she means? Yes, maybe you are, Anastasia.
You were right about Jack,
she says, and leans across the kitchen counter, regarding me seriously. My blood runs cold. Has he tried anything? She shakes her head.
No, and he won't, Christian.
I told him today that I'm your girlfriend, and he backed right off.
You're sure? I could fire the fucker.
He's history. I want him out.
Anna sighs.
You really have to let me fight my own battles. You can't constantly second-guess me and try to protect me. It's stifling, Christian. I'll never flourish with your incessant interference. I need some freedom. I wouldn't dream of meddling in your affairs.
I only want you safe, Anastasia. If anything happened to you,
I know, she says. And I understand why you feel so driven to protect me. And part of me loves it. I know that if I need you, you'll be there, as I am for you. But if we are to have any hope of a future together, you have to trust me, and trust my judgment. Yes, I'll get it wrong sometimes. I'll make mistakes, but I have to learn.
It's a passionate plea, and I know she's right. It's just... Flynn's words come to mind.
You will drive her away if you continue on this path.
She comes toward me with quiet determination and, taking my hands, places them around her waist. Gently, she puts her hands on my arms.
You can't interfere in my job. It's wrong. I don't need you charging in like a white knight to save the day. I know you want to control everything, and I understand why, but you can't. It's an impossible goal. You have to learn to let go.
She strokes my face.
And if you can do that, give me that. I'll move in with you.
You do that?
Yes,
she says.
But you don't know me, I blurt, suddenly panicked. I have to tell her.
I know you well enough, Christian. Nothing you tell me about yourself will frighten me away.
I doubt that. She doesn't know why I do what I do. She doesn't know the monster.
She touches my cheek again, trying to reassure me.
But if you could just ease up on me.
I'm trying, Anastasia. I couldn't just stand by and let you go to New York with that sleazeball. He has an alarming reputation. None of his assistants have lasted more than 3 months, and they're never retained by the company. I don't want that for you, baby. I don't want anything to happen to you. You being hurt? The thought fills me with dread. I can't promise not to interfere. Not if I think you'll come to harm.
I take a deep breath.
I love you, Anastasia. I will do everything in my power to protect you. I cannot imagine my life without you.
Quite the speech, Gray.
I love you too, Christian.
She folds her arms around my neck and kisses me, her tongue teasing my lips. Taylor coughs in the background, and I stand with Anna by my side.
Yes?
I ask Taylor, a little more sharply than intended.
Mrs. Lincoln is on her way up, sir.
What?
Taylor gives me an apologetic shrug. I shake my head. Well, this should be interesting, I mutter, and give Anna a contrite smile. Anna looks from me to Taylor, and I don't think she quite believes him. He gives her a nod and leaves.
Did you talk to her today?
She asks me.
Yes.
What did you say?
I said that you didn't want to see her and that I understood your reasons why. I also told her that I didn't appreciate her going behind my back.
What did she say?
She brushed it off in a way that only Elena can.
Why do you think she's here?
I have no idea. Taylor returns to the living room.
Mrs. Lincoln?
He says, and Elena stands staring at the two of us. I pull Anna closer to my side.
Elena,
I say, wondering why the hell she's here. She looks from me to Anna.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize you had company, Christian. It's Monday,
she says. Girlfriend, I clarify. Submissives only on the weekend, Mrs. Lincoln. You know this.
Of course. Hello, Anastasia. I didn't know you'd be here. I know you don't want to talk to me. I accept that.
Do you? Anna's tone is deadly. Hell. Elena walks toward us.
Yes, I get the message. I'm not here to see you. Like I said, Christian rarely has company during the week.
She pauses and addresses Anna directly.
I have a problem, and I need to talk to Christian about it.
Oh, do you want a drink? I ask.
Yes, please,
she says. I fetch a glass. When I turn, they are both sitting in awkward silence at the kitchen island.
Shit. This day, it just gets better and better.
I pour wine into both of their glasses and take a seat between them.
What's up?
I ask Elena. Elena's eyes dart to Anna.
Anastasia's with me now.
I reach across and give Anna's hand a reassuring squeeze in the hope that she keeps quiet. The sooner Elena says her piece, the sooner she'll be gone. Elena looks nervous, unlike her usual self. She twists her ring, a sure sign that something is agitating her.
I'm being blackmailed.
How? I ask, appalled. She pulls a note out of her purse. I don't want to touch it.
Put it down, lay it out. I point with my chin at the marble top and tighten my hold on Anna's hand.
You don't want to touch it?
Elena asks.
No, fingerprints.
Christian, you know I can't go to the police with this.
She puts the note on the counter. It's written in capital letters. Mrs. Lincoln, 5,000, or I tell all.
They're only asking for $5,000? That doesn't seem right. Any idea who it might be? Someone in the community?
No,
she responds.
Link?
What, after all this time? I don't think so.
Does Isaac know?
I haven't told him.
I think he needs to know.
Anna tugs at her hand. She wants out.
What?
I ask Anna.
I'm tired. I think I'll go to bed, she says.
I search her face to see what she's really thinking, and as usual, I have no idea.
Okay, I answer.
I won't be long.
I release her hand and she gets up.
Good night, Anastasia,
Elena says. Anna responds, her voice frigid, and she stalks out of the room. I turn my attention back to Elena.
I don't think there's a great deal I can do, Elena. If it's a question of money...
I stop. She knows I'd give her the money. I could ask Welch to investigate.
No, Christian, I just wanted to share. You look very happy,
she adds.